Hello and welcome to another episode of the Win Your Daily Battles. My name is Janie and I'm the host for this show. As you all know, July is a very special month for me because I'm going to be turning 41 after surviving cancer 4 times. And I am so privileged and honored to have this great gift in front of me right now, in front of my computer screen. She is one of the most beloved women in the Philippines because she has shown that resiliency and persistence really does pay off. I worked with her when she was still a teenager, and now I've seen her blossom into this beautiful, successful woman. And I'm so honored to have her on the show. Despite her busy schedule, she made time to give me this time as a birthday gift to all my Filipino audience. You know her very well, but for my global audience, let me proudly introduce to you Miss Universe 2015, Miss Pia Wurtzbach. Congratulations on your win. I haven't really congratulated you in person, so this is my chance. Hi, Pia!
Hello! Hi, Ate Jamie, and hello to all the listeners of this podcast. It's great to see you again, even though it's virtually. But I'm happy that we get to catch up, and I'm excited. It's so good to see you.
We work together in a sitcom. It's a funny sitcom called Bora, which is in our mother station in the Philippines, ABS-CBN. And she was still a budding actress by then. And that was the first time we worked together. And it's just so funny that now we're catching up and we're talking like proper adults. And so anyway, Pia, could you please just tell our audience about you? If anyone out there is listening and they're not familiar with the pageant world or the Philippine culture, just tell us about you, who you are, what you do, and what you've accomplished.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pia Wurtzbach. I'm Miss Universe 2015. You guys might remember me from that Miss Universe edition where Steve Harvey made a mistake and accidentally called Colombia as the winner and then said it was, in fact, Philippines. So that was me. I'm Miss Philippines. I'm also UNAIDS Goodwill Ambassador for Asia and the Pacific. And right now, I am that now, and just recently started working with WWF Philippines as well as an ambassador. So I am based in Manila. I do a lot of work there. I am an actress still on,
yes,
like, a bit. I am a model, a product or brand endorser, and an advocate. And so I've been doing a lot of things, actually. So being a beauty queen is not really one-dimensional. There's so much more to it. I like to try everything too. So Ate Jamie and I actually worked together, like she mentioned earlier. We worked together in a sitcom back in the Philippines years ago called Bora. Bora is short for Boracay because it's based on a famous beach in the Philippines called Boracay. If you guys have never been there, you should definitely come and visit when it's safer to travel. And yes, like what Ate Jamie said, I was very young then. I think I was around 15 or 16
years
old.
Yes, Pia, yes. You were a teenager. You were just this, you're the awkward teenager back then. You're still finding yourself. You're still unsure of your gifts and your potential. And I look at you and I'm like, oh my God, this girl is so pretty. And she's got like the nicest set of boobs. And I was just like, she doesn't know it. That's why like me and Mickey, our other co-stars are looking at each other like, this girl just has no idea how beautiful she is, huh? And we're like, yep. But you know, let her stay like that, you know, because one day it's just gonna all explode and she'll realize, like, oh my God, you know, like, there you go. There's the magic right here. I remember you completely from feeling a little frustrated back then. How come I never get my break and all the other girls next to me are getting all their big breaks and no one's really noticing how great of an actress or a model I am? And I just knew, like in my heart, like, you know, it's all timing, girl. Like you'll have your time. Maybe not now, but you did. You did have your time. That's amazing. And you're still having your time.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. It was a long journey for me. I started off as an actress back home in the Philippines. I started when I was I started acting when I was around 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
And then, but I wasn't a very popular actress. When I say actress back home in the Philippines, I'm not talking about a popular one. I was definitely a newbie. I was waiting for my big break. It took a long time. Little did I know my big break would be in pageants, but it's all good. Everything paid off. All the hard work, all the weight, all the rejection, it all paid off.
So Pia, just a little question, since you said you discovered your calling later on through the pageants. Was it something that you entertained as a kid? Or you never imagined that pageant was your path? Like, you've always thought it was acting and modeling, and then suddenly like, oh, maybe I was on the wrong path? Because I think I'm asking that because most of us, we stay in one path thinking this is our path. And then eventually you're like, oh my God, I've been focusing on this for a long time, and suddenly something popped up and, oh, this is actually what I was meant to do, not this path.
Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, when I was still acting, a lot of people would approach me and say, hey, you have the height and you could be a beauty queen. Why don't you try training for it? At that time, of course, hearing it from other people, I didn't think that I had the potential. First of all, I don't know how to be a beauty queen. How do you even start? Where do you go? Who trains you? Do you pay for it? All of these questions. So I had zero knowledge about it. But I've had people tell me that, you know, you should go and try. But I would just ignore those comments because I didn't really think that it was something I should consider. And then, I guess some people already saw that I had the potential, but I didn't really believe it. And then years went by. So many things happened to me. I actually stopped showbiz because my mom got remarried and then to a British, an Englishman. So now they wanted to move to the UK. So I stopped my showbiz, almost non-existent showbiz career. I had to stop it to move to the UK. And I just kept thinking about like the Philippines and thinking about like, wait, I feel like I have unfinished business there. I want to go back. So I did. And then I tried acting again as a young adult, and then I failed. Like, it really wasn't meant for me. And then one day, as I was walking aimlessly in the mall, I had just gotten off of a bad breakup, so I was kind of lost. I was brokenhearted. I was hurt. My career wasn't taking off. There's nothing going on. And then my now manager spotted me from afar and said, hey, you know, why don't you try to become a beauty queen? Do you want to train? Do you want to give it a shot? And I mean, this guy, his name is Jonas Gafford, and he's actually very well known in the industry, and he's also a talent manager. So I knew who he was. So for him to offer it to me, I said yes right away without batting an eyelash. I said yes. And actually what he said to me was, after he offered it to me, what I said was in Tagalog, "Hay salamat, may gagawin ako sa buhay ko," which means, thank God I have something to do with my life finally. You know, you're giving me something to do. So I poured all of my time, my energy, my efforts into just training. So immediately the next day, I started really training and researching about beauty pageants and then Miss Universe. So ever since then, I've been living and breathing Miss Universe and pageants, and just trying to make that my focus so that I don't get distracted about my heartbreak. So I don't think about that anymore. So I stopped thinking about my failed acting career. So I really just try to focus on that. And I'm so happy that they saw that potential in me. So they said, you know, just keep training. You have the potential to be a winner. And I believe them. So I just kept doing it. So that year, that was 2013. I joined my very first beauty pageant at 23 years old, which in the Philippines is kind of older to start beauty pageants.
Philippines is a youth-obsessed culture. I know that for a fact. Because even with me, Pia, when I started show business, I was 24. And I remember lining up in the Star Magic auditions, and all the people next to me are teens, 13, yeah. 14, 18 is like kind of old, and I'm a 24-year-old. And yeah, Philippines is like that. So I totally understand when you said like you're labeled as old, but in other countries, there's no such a thing. But okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I kind of started late for a pageant because most girls start kind of young. So 23, I started. That was my first try. I ended up being first runner-up out of 50 candidates. Well, 49. And so close. When you're first runner-up, that's basically second place. So close for my first try. I was bummed about it, but it gave me, you know, it made me think, you know what? I can do this again. I'll just try again next year. So I did. I joined a second time the next year. I didn't win that one, not even top 10, not even top 5. So it wasn't my year, but I'm stubborn. So I joined again for a third time the following year, which was 2015. And then I had my luck. I found the right formula. I was able to win Miss Universe Philippines, which was my ticket to becoming, to representing the Philippines at Miss Universe. So yeah, that's how it all started for me.
Hey winners, I am so excited to finally introduce my baby to you that I've been working on for months. We're going through a very unusual time right now and slowly getting used to the new normal. But that doesn't mean that we have to forsake taking care of ourselves, most especially our skin. It has always been a vision of mine to inspire you guys, not just with my words and life experiences, but also to be part of your daily beauty routine. With that in mind, me and my team conceptualized a winning skincare line that'll be your go-to skincare essentials at home. In this crazy time wherein it literally feels like we're in a Jumanji game minus The Rock Johnson and Nick Jonas in it, the least we can do to survive is to keep our sanity, aka take very, very good care of ourselves. Our products are sulfate, paraben, gluten, cruelty-free, organic, natural, and of course, since we're based in California, so yes, it's 100% vegan. A $1 of each product sale also goes to our non-profitable organization Campaign One at a Time that focuses on helping children with life-threatening illness towards healing. So please do check us out at www.winnerskincare.com and be part of our winning journey. Because remember, winning starts with your skin. But Pia, my question is, how do you defeat those self-defeating thoughts? And, you know, I mean, I'm sure along your journey, you would sometimes feel disheartened because I can relate to you in a different level. I'm relating to you in terms of my health. This is my fourth battle with cancer. So every time I go and I get better, I go forward and then suddenly I feel like, no, you know what? I just want to give up. This is just nonsense. Like, I'm just wasting time and energy, and but I get back up in the horse and ride again, so it's just a continuous thing. But I'm curious how your thought process happened when you're going through the auditions and the trainings and keep trying and trying, and what drove you to push that far? Because some people would just end like after one or two pageants and yeah, I don't make it, maybe it's not my calling, it's time to shift. But you stayed and you persisted and you were relentless. So what drove you?
I guess, I mean, it's a few things. First is I didn't want to put to waste the effort that I already put in. Doing a year of training in the Philippines, by the way, it's months, almost a year of training before the pageant starts. So it's not like I decided yesterday to join and then tomorrow I compete. It's a bloodbath back home. Like, we really try to, we train, we take it very seriously. So I didn't want to waste all of that effort just to give up, you know, once, if I can try it again next year anyway. So I guess my way of thinking is that when you hit rock bottom, there's no other way but to go up. And I was, of course I was hurt, you know, of course there were times where I felt disappointed, where I felt down, but I just kept going because I thought that I thought that there was nothing else left. There was no other choice, and I didn't want to waste the I didn't want to waste the effort that I've already put in.
You're heavily invested in the process. Mm-hmm. That's great. Wow. It's just resilience. So see, I believe in the power of just persevering what you want to do, and you're eventually going to pay off the rewards if you just stay long enough. Because I really believe in the saying that the grass is greener where you water it. So I think you put water and fertilizer in your journey, and you just, you know, stayed patient until it grew and it's time for harvest. So yeah.
I didn't want to give up just because it gave up on me. I wanted to give up when I'm ready to give up. Like when it was up to me really to say, okay, this is enough, I quit. But as long as I was still qualified, as long as I was still, I was still qualified age-wise, I'm still qualified height, like as long as I can still do it, why not? Like, so then I kept joining and joining. Of course, at that time, nowadays it's quite common for girls to keep, we're called repeaters if you keep joining again and again. So nowadays it's quite common to become a repeater because you're just kind of gaining experience for the big moment, you know. But back then, of course, it was embarrassing because then people would say, oh, you again, ikaw na naman.
Yes, like, exactly. Here. That's what it is, P. I was just imagining, and you know how some audience can get so overcritical and overly bashing. Like, I cannot imagine what you read and what you've been receiving from all the people just attacking you, saying like, you know, maybe you should give up and this and that. And you know, I'm sure you got a lot, and I don't know how you kept sane and not let that get in your way, because it must be one hard journey to like deal with all these people who are discouraging you. I mean, sometimes I believe they come from a place of love because they don't want you to get hurt, especially your loved ones. They would want you to stop because you're just maybe gonna get disappointed. Or because I'm the same, when I was trying show business as a kid, everyone was saying, you're too old, you're not white enough, tall enough. Like, I have all these like oppositions, and they're saying, it's not gonna happen, I just don't want you to get hurt. So I know it's coming from a place of wanting to protect you. But at the same time, it's like, no, you're not really believing in what I see in my head. Like, it's a vision. Yeah. So how did you deal with all the negativity? Did you just like totally believe in your own capacity to do what you have to do? And just like, you know what? Whatever they say, it doesn't matter.
You know, I think it's really a matter of perspective. Like in my case, I thought that if you guys are bothered by my presence here, that's your problem, because I'm having fun and I'm learning a lot. And I used to think, you know what, even if I don't get the crown, I've already changed so much as a person and as a woman. I've become more outspoken. I've learned to use my voice. I've learned that my opinions matter. I've learned to be confident. And these are lessons that I take home even if I don't get the crown. And so you just have to kind of see the silver lining in things, see the positive that you'll get out of it. And so that's how I would see it. And when it comes to getting negativity or haters or bashers, as we call it back home, the way I see it is, I actually like reading bad comments. Wow. Because then I use that as my motivation when I'm in the gym, when I'm training, when I'm doing my Q&A training. So then I would keep repeating, like kind of replaying those words in my head, like, you know, they said that I couldn't do this because I wasn't fit enough, but watch me do 5 more push-ups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just use that. It's up to you. Bashers are always going to be there. Haters are always going to be there. But do you use that to put you down, or do you use that to make yourself progress?
True. You can see it as an angle of improvement, like constructive criticism, even if they word it in a very negative way. You can see it as a way to just push you and propel you to be better, I guess.
Yeah.
Pia, just one other topic I want to ask you. What some adjustments did you make coming from being a low-key teen actress, model, and now you're a universal icon. Is there something that you adjusted drastically, aside from, of course, all the fame and attention and the hectic schedules?
Well, the thing is, I prepared so many years to get the crown, but then I didn't really think of the other things that would come with it. Well, to be honest with you, I wasn't really after the fame. I knew Miss Universe was big back home, but I didn't think that it would cost me my privacy, my private life. I didn't think that it would make my circle smaller. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that I would have to always be switched on, like every time I leave the house. I didn't think that people would be asking for pictures, even though I'm just trying to buy a cup of coffee back home. Yes. Those are the things I didn't really prepare for, because I got so, I had this tunnel vision. I was so focused on just getting the crown. I didn't think of the other things that would come with it. So I guess those were the adjustments, really. Knowing that your life is an open book now, everybody knows everything about you. They know who you are, where you grew up, who your friends are, who your ex-boyfriends are. Like, they know everything. And also that every time I go out now, back home anyway, people are always going to see me as Miss Universe. So like what Gloria Diaz said, for those who don't know, Gloria Diaz is a former Miss Universe from the Philippines in 1969. She won. And she said, being a Miss Universe is both a blessing and a curse at the same time. Because it's a blessing because you'll always be Miss Universe, but it's also a curse because you'll always be Miss Universe. And it makes sense to me. But you know what? This is the life. This was my dream. This is the life I chose. I accept everything that comes with it. I'm not complaining. I don't want people to get the wrong impression that I don't like this, that I'm complaining. I love my job. I am used to it now, and I embrace it and everything that else that comes with it.
Because I believe that being in the media, there's always pressure attached, Pia. I think that's just how it is. If you're a public icon and you've achieved so much, people just get curious how you got it and what you're doing now. So I think they live vicariously through you. So there's that pressure to always be great, you're right, I like the word, you're always switched on. In my case, I'm doing an inspirational blog to inspire people to win over their struggles in life, and sometimes I feel that pressure because I have bad days. I have days where I'm like, I don't feel like a winner right now because I'm just feeling sick or feeling disappointed, homesick, quarantine is horrible, so I have all these ideas, and sometimes I put that pressure into myself to like, no, but I'm Jamie Wynn, so I have to act like a winner. I have to be pumped up and always positive and optimistic and this and that. But I think in reality, I mean, we're all humans. Even you're a queen, but I'm sure you have days where you're just a girl. Like, you just think of yourself as a human being, simple, not Miss Universe, but Pia Wurzbach, just a simple girl, and you have your days. And it's just hard to sometimes make people see that because they see you as this icon. You know, you're right, you're Miss Universe. They see you as that's the idea, that you're supposed to be perfect and accommodating all the time and put together. But I think the truth is, hey guys, we're all humans, you know, we all have our days. But in connection to that, I am curious, who is the real Pia outside the camera and the crown? If who's that little girl I met back, but even then you were in the camera then, but I'm curious, like, behind all the glitz and glamour that people know about you, especially back home in the pageant aficionados, who are you really, and what's the common misconception that people think of you in their head, seeing you as this public figure, but in reality it's just not what they think?
Well, I think you mentioned one of them already, is that people think that it's perfect all the time, that I don't have any bad days, but that's not the case at all. I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I don't feel like a winner every day. I didn't wake up like this, you know? There are days where you're just kind of like, you know what, I'm not feeling it today. But that's okay. What I've learned is that it's really hard and almost draining to kind of put up a front all the time, to try to be strong all the time. It's hard. You won't be able to sustain it. So what I've learned is that I like to be honest and transparent, even towards, you know, my supporters. Every time I have an interview, I like to remind them that, you know, I know you guys see Miss Universe as this kind of like figure, somebody who's perfect and will never make a mistake, but that's not true. I am just like you. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I will make mistakes, but I think people should see that. People should see that not everything they see on Instagram is reality, or not all girls that they see on the Miss Universe stage are perfect. That's not true. They should be able to see themselves in me. That's why I've always been kind of honest I was honest that I didn't come from, you know, a comfortable livelihood before. Comfortable life before. We were struggling financially. I'm not shy to share that story. I'm also not embarrassed to share that there are days where I don't feel pretty, of course, and that I get sad too. I get sad. I get sad. I get sick. I get hungry. I get homesick. I get jet lagged. I get hangry, you know, like everybody else. So that's how I want people to see me and to remember me. Yes, I am a Miss Universe, but I am just like you.
This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. I've been starting my day with their mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee, and I love how it really helps me focus to get my stuff done, like this podcast for today. And it's got that chaga mushroom, which is the king of mushrooms, and they're known for its antioxidant properties, plus it plays a very big role in supporting our immune system and maintaining its function. So you're probably thinking, does this taste like mushroom? Nope, I can guarantee it tastes like regular delicious coffee. Not at all like mushrooms. And it's very easy on the gut. It doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or crash. And I can guarantee that all these products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free. And Four Sigmatic is tested in a third-party lab for anything that is not safe. So I can guarantee that they have the highest quality coffee and shrooms possible. And I've worked an exclusive offer for all my podcast listeners. You can receive a 15% discount on your Four Sigmatic order. And you can just do that by typing in my discount code Jamie Wins. That's JAYMEEWINS at your checkout when you visit their official website. So please go ahead and enjoy everyday magic with Four Sigmatic. Wonderfully said. You are very relatable. That's why I think you're one of the most loved Miss Universe, because people can see that you're not just all about the crown and looking pretty and getting the recognition. It's really about showing people that a simple girl with a simple dream can achieve great things if, you know, you put your heart, mind, soul, and body and attention into it, which is amazing. So Pia, in this quarantine period, since you're talking about you have your bad days as well, you have your sad days, what are your major challenges right now in this whole quarantine period? And can you share your thoughts as well to anyone going through hard times in this very unusual shift in human history? Because this is not what we grew up in. I mean, I grew up with you, you were younger, but I was in the same generation more or less, and we grew up without smartphones, without all these distancing. It's just so simple back then, Pia. If you remember our lives before, we just go to auditions. It's not like we're making our own Instagram profiles. There's people taking our videos. Now it's just all these self stuff, like self-made, self-everything, Insta-famous, Insta-business. Everything is just instant. And I bet I have a lot of listeners who are experiencing that stress and then adding up quarantine on top of it. There's more pressure to really kind of like stay together, put together, and stop the self-defeating thoughts is very prominent now because of what's going on. So yeah, please share away. We'd love to learn from you. I'm even listening. I want to learn from you as well.
So the quarantine has been, well, challenging, especially at the beginning. Now I've adapted to it already, but I am used to being on the go all the time. I am a workaholic, and I really find purpose when with work. Like I find work really fun. And my work actually requires me to be on the go all the time. I used to have a travel show with Metro Channel. That's a TV station in the Philippines. I do shoots in studios. I am invited in schools. I work on my advocacy. So a lot of my work requires being around people or in front of people all the time. So this has been different, of course. I mean, we're all going through it. But I've learned to adapt. What I learned about us people, we're very adaptable. Now I realized that there are so many things you can do from home. You could do your meetings at home. You could do your workout at home. You could hang out with your friends via Zoom. You could, it wasn't so bad after all. Like, I don't know, maybe I just see the positive in it. But it was an adjustment at first, but I've gotten used to it already. Some realizations I had during this quarantine period is that, I don't know if people are good, maybe some people have different realizations, but I realized that yes, I can do a lot of my work from home. I can take care of my health from home. I also realized that, you know what, I don't need all these material things. Because as a celebrity, you're kind of like, you're forced to buy so many branded stuff to make it, you know, it's part of your branding. You have to have designer things all the time. But I open up my closet and I'm thinking like, wow, I just wasted so much money. I don't even need all of this. Like, what is this? Why did I even buy this? Like, I have so many purchases that I regret. So what I did was, some of them that I know I'm not going to be using anymore, I just sold them for auction, and then I just donate the money somewhere. It gives me a sense of purpose. I learned also that giving back feels so good. It is so fulfilling. This is not a beauty queen answer, by the way, guys. This is real. When you give back and you give your time or your efforts or to something, to a cause, and you see how it changes other people's lives, it just makes you feel good. It just gives you a sense of purpose.
And a karmic flow. I think you feel the karma coming back, even if it's not there yet. It's the fact that you have this good intention and you put it out. It's energy. I believe in ecosystem. You're putting out good things and somehow you feel the energy coming back. That's why you feel good, and then you attract good people, and then good opportunities come. It's just this like wave of like, whoa, there's something in this. Because it's different if you're giving and you want credit. Like, I'm going to give you something but I want to be recognized. But if you just give out of like pure heart, like I just want to help and make someone feel better or improve someone's life or something, you feel that like energy that's unexplainable.
And you don't even have to do it like in a way where you're giving out money to a certain charity or organization. It doesn't even have to be about money, or it doesn't even have to be towards an organization. Just look around you, see which one of your friends need a helping hand. You know, maybe you can support their businesses, maybe you can help promote their vlog, maybe you can buy the products that they're trying to sell. There's so many things that we can do in our day-to-day life to just be better people, to be of help to others. I mean, you don't have to be a Miss Universe or to be a beauty queen, to have a lot of followers, to be connected to an org to help. Just look around you. Maybe it's been a while since you asked your sibling, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? Do you need to talk?
I mean, it's the little tap. I believe in that, Pia, because like in my case, when people, when I publicized my diagnosis, some people really freaked out because they think like, I don't know how to help her anyway. So they just shied away. And to me, it's like, I'm not asking you to be my caregiver or to be my oncologist. Like, it's as simple as just, yeah, exactly. I like what you said. Just really checking on me genuinely. Like, hey, how are you? Are you okay? Do you need someone to talk to? Or just a little, a sincere tap on social media means so much to someone going through pain. Because it makes you feel like, oh, I'm not forgotten. I'm important. Someone actually does care and think mm-hmm. about me. And I think people forget that. Like, they just think like, oh, well, I don't really know how to help this person. So I'm just going to pray for them. Like, yeah, I believe in the power of prayers, but it's also nice to have this person, you know, like, let this person know that you're thinking of them. Don't be just a silent observer, especially if they're close to you or that you know them. Like, it's a little, just a little effort of just saying, hey, I thought about you today. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't cost anything.
Yes.
It doesn't cost anything to just check up on someone, especially nowadays. A lot of people, like, come on, let's be honest. A lot of people are going through mental health problems at the moment because of COVID, because of being in quarantine. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people are away from their families. Some people are self-isolating. They're alone. So connect. I mean, we're not doing anything anyway. Most of us are indoors or we all have internet. I mean, most of us do anyway. So it really doesn't cost you anything to just check up on someone, and you'd never know, you could be saving somebody's life.
Yes, I super agree, especially those people with mental health issues that maybe they're at the brink of thinking about doing something harmful, and then suddenly you express a prayer or concern. Because I do have down days too, Pia, when I talk to my oncologist and they tell me something not so good, and I would really sink down on this, you know, hopeless feeling, and then suddenly out of the blue someone would just randomly message and be like, hey, I thought about you today, or hey, look at this funny video. And I'm just like, oh, and then I just snap out of that thought, like, oh, I'm okay, someone loves me, people care, I'm not alone, someone's thinking about me, I'm still relevant in the world, so it's okay. Like, it just alleviates that feeling of worthlessness. I'm guilty of that, because I've felt that with the diagnosis. Sometimes I feel like maybe it's time to give up the treatments, this is useless. And then suddenly, you know, I receive a picture of my godson from a best friend, and I'm like, oh, no, I have to live long, because, you know, I have to see my godson grow up and all that. And even with you, like, when I receive the message from you, I haven't spoken to you in forever, but I know that at one point I'm going to connect with you again. And when I saw you agree to do this podcast, I'm just like, oh my god, this is so great. I'm like, it gave me that jolt of like joy. And oh, no, you know, I still have some people to interview. There's Pia, and there's probably other people out there that I can reach out to and share a good message on the internet. So no, it's not over. So I think, yeah, just a little pop up from someone really can change your life. Like, it doesn't need to be monetary or something grand. It's just something as little as showing genuine concern can make a big, big difference. And you're right, it can save a life, save someone from falling from depression and thinking of harmful thoughts. I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, girl. Well, anyway, for the final question, which I always ask to all my followers, I want to know what your daily battles or struggles would be, and how do you win over it?
Okay, some of my daily struggles. Okay, I am a big worrier. Not warrior, worrier. Okay, I worry a lot. I overthink. And maybe that's the reason why I sometimes overwork myself. Because, like, you know, Ate Jamie, it took me a long time to get to where I am now. So a lot of rejection. But then now that I have a career, now that I have this, I somehow have this mentality, this thinking that I shouldn't stop because it took me too long. I worked too hard and too long, like I shouldn't stop. But so one of my daily struggles is just trying to keep my anxiety, you know, in check, like trying to keep the balance. And appreciating the things around me. I think that's also key into keeping yourself, you know, your feet planted on the ground, keeping yourself humble. A challenge for me is like learning. I'm still growing. I'm still learning how to say no to things that that hurt me. I am a people pleaser, so I like to please everybody. But I've learned that taking care of yourself is important before you can take care of other people. People are probably wondering, like, is she going through stuff? Like, no, I'm not. I'm not really going through anything. But I have anxieties. I have anxieties, and then every day I try to find a way to kind of balance it all, where I keep myself productive, but I also don't overwork myself. So those are my daily challenges, and I want people to I want people to know that it's not Christmas for me every day. There are days where, I mean, I live in the Philippines alone, so I miss my family. My family lives in the UK, so I do miss my family. I do get homesick. I do get lonely. Sometimes I'm overworking myself for what? Sometimes I think, like, what am I doing all of this for? Just a bit too much of everything. So one of the things that I try to tell myself is just relax, be still, everything's gonna be okay. I think those would be my daily challenges. I think it all comes from me being, you know, such a hard worker and I was the breadwinner of my family too, for those who are listening to this right now. So you can imagine the kind of pressure I had growing up. So the pressure of providing for my family, not getting, you know, not having like a successful acting career, failing at beauty pageants so many times. Of course, these things have sort of an effect on you. And now I'm overworking myself. Now I'm trying to do everything. Now I just I don't want to take for granted what I have already. But then I learned that that's also not okay. You gotta learn how to balance. You gotta learn how to press pause. You gotta learn how to appreciate, to stop and smell the flowers. Appreciate the things that are around you. You have to be grateful all the time. Be grateful. I think that's my number one advice. I know people are probably gonna say, well, you won Miss Universe, so of course it's an easy life for you now. Of course you're gonna be grateful. But you know what? I've learned to appreciate even the small things. Even the little things. I will never stop being grateful, because I know how quick everything can be taken away from you also. So just having this awareness, and, you know, always working on yourself. I think we're all a work in progress anyway. Even me, I'm still a work in progress. So yeah, those are my daily challenges. I don't know if people are going to be able to relate to this, but I hope so. I hope people are going to be able to take away some lessons from what I just shared.
To all my ladies in the Itsy Bitsy Boobies Committee, for far too long, our A-cup-sized bras have lacked in variety, comfort, and quality. I mean, are you still buying bras in the kids section? Do you just accept that bad-fitting bras are now your reality? Good news. I found this brand called Lulalu this year, and I'm never looking back. They make bras for AAA, AA, and A cup sizes. Yep, there's definitely a cup smaller than A size, and they do exist. With band sizes ranging from 30 to 38, made with premium materials and your comfort in mind, Lulalu will help you look and feel your absolute best. Give them a try. Visit their official website, www.lulalu.com, and get a 15% discount using my code JAMIEWINS. That's spelled as JAYMEEWINS. And let me know what you think. Enjoy shopping. Definitely, Pia. We appreciate everything. I am learning as well. I'm listening to you intently and even taking some notes down. But I like what you said, because the thing is, at the end of my show, I always remind my listeners that winning your battle is not a one-shot deal. Because people think that, Pia. I was the same. I thought, oh, when I go on a cover of a magazine, that's it. I win. Or like with you, maybe people think, oh, she won Miss Universe. So that's it. She won. Done. But I think it's not the grandest things that make you a winner. It's the journey. It's a journey. The winning is a journey. It's a day-to-day thing. So it's not like, I won Miss Universe and I'm done. Life is good now. Yay, happily ever after. Same with me. I'm always thinking, if this cancer goes away, I'll be happy. I'll be, yay, life is great. But I think it doesn't work that way, because life is a never-ending story. It only ends when you die. So there's no ending. There's no happy ending. It's just, it's a consistent day-to-day thing that you just need to keep staying grateful, staying happy, staying positive. It's a conscious effort every single day, I think. And even as a Miss Universe, I think you would agree with that, thinking like it doesn't end when you have the crown. You know, it just doesn't end when you, because people have that idea like, oh, if I get married, I'll be happy. If I become Miss Universe, I'll be happy. In my case, if I'm free of cancer, I'll be happy. Like, no, happiness is now. Like, it's right now.
Yeah. One thing I also want to share is that I used to be like that when, after I passed on my crown, I used to think, okay, so I won Miss Universe already. What's next? So then I overwork myself and I try to, you know, find achievement would be as big or bigger than Miss Universe. Because then if you already reach this kind of dream, the natural reaction would be, okay, what's next? What else can I do? And then you start losing sight of real happiness, because you're so blinded by just trying to find that next, you know, success, that next goal, that next thing. But it doesn't have to be so big and so grand all the time. It's something that I realized. A big success for me, like a small win for me, is seeing my niece and, you know, for her to draw me like a little thing, like to, for her to draw a little Pia and a little Lara.
Aww.
And
from,
like, that's a big, that doesn't even cost any money. That's a big win for me. Or for example, just getting through my day without anxiety and just finishing all my work, that's a win for me. Maybe getting a workout done for the day, that's a win for me. Or if somebody comes up to me and says, Pia, you really inspired me to, I mean, for example, to get myself tested and treated for HIV, that's a win for me. Or maybe just being able to get up, enjoy the food that's in front of me, talk to my family, go back to sleep, having, you know, no problems that day. That small wins are still wins.
Beautifully said. Oh my God, I wish I have like a band here who can just like play the song. You got it, girl. Mic drop. Boom. I love that. Thank you for giving me this amazing interview, Pia. You're one of the best interviews I've had so far in this podcast, and I think my listeners are all gushing, especially the Filipino fans. I'm just so honored that you gave me this time. Thank you. This is like one of the best birthday gifts ever, your time, attention, and your knowledge. So before I officially close the show, is there anything that you'd like to plug for people to follow you if they're not familiar, if you have upcoming projects that they need to be aware of, your upcoming book, your appearances, anything that you'd like to plug that the audience would be happy to know? Please just share away.
Yes, of course. So I am working on a few things at the moment, but as we all know, we're going through a very difficult time right now. So some things have been put on hold, but that's okay. See, that's okay. That should be the mentality. Right now, I'm really trying to just focus on my advocacy work. It's been giving me a lot of purpose lately, especially nowadays. For people who are listening to this right now, just, if you can, follow me on my social media at Pia Wurzbach on Instagram and Twitter, and on Facebook, Pia Wurzbach Official. I have a few things I'm working on and I post my updates there. So, and I'm still very much active in my work with UNAIDS and HIV and AIDS in the Philippines. And also just recently, I've started working with WWF. So I'm very excited about that. I'm also partnering with a few organizations for mental health, because I think it's something that's very, well, something that should be talked more about, especially nowadays. And it's also something that I relate to. I think something that all of us relate to. Let's be honest, diba?
Yeah. So keep it real. It's true. We all have that. We all have moments of depression, anxiety, especially with this situation right now. It's just hard to really keep it together. And I think a lot of people, especially the young, the Gen Ys and the millennials, are really experiencing it because they're growing in this industry of technology where they're always just glued in their phones and computers and iPads. And I grew up without them, so I can live without them. And so I think it's very important for young people to know. There's just, when I hear suicides from young people, I feel so insulted because I'm here fighting to live 5 chance at life, and I've had 4 recurrences, and I'm really trying hard to stay long in the planet. And then you hear people just taking their lives like that. So I believe that mental health is such a big issue, especially in the Philippines, where sometimes it's still seen as taboo or very, I don't know. I just feel like in the Philippines, they think like something's really wrong with you if you consult with a mental health practitioner, when in fact, it's just like going to a dentist every 6 months. You get your teeth clean. It's the same thing with your mind. You need to stay sane because your mind controls your body. It's your remote control. So you need to keep it in check. And there's really nothing wrong with, you know, seeking help. That's actually how you survive. We do need each other.
I agree. There's so much stigma around it. In the Philippines, there's so much work that needs to be. But that's why we're here at the Jamie. That's why we're doing this. And that's why we don't stop talking about it.
Thank you, girl. I appreciate your time. I wish you all the best and continue to inspire and achieve. I've seen you from this young teenage dreamy girl to this beautiful full-blown woman queen, and I couldn't be so proud. I'm like a proud auntie Jamie. Well, I don't want to call myself auntie, it feels so old, but yeah, Ate Jamie. To all my foreign listeners, Ate is a term you use for big sister. Yeah, exactly, that's the big sister term, and Kuya is for the male counterpart. So I'm just so honored to have Pia on the show, and thank you so much, girl. Be safe wherever you are and keep achieving. So anyway, you guys, I would love to give you the end spiel of my podcast, but I think Pia and I summarized it into just celebrating the little wins that you experience day by day. As you heard from a queen here, it's not about winning a crown for you to be happy and feel like a winner. It's really the simple things that doesn't even cost a penny for you to feel good and be able to inspire other people along the way. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you have any reactions, you can always follow Pia's Instagram and social media handles. I'll be writing it on the description of this podcast. And you can also reach out to me, jamiewins@gmail.com, or my official website, www.jamiewins.com. And please give me your reactions, suggestions, comments. I would love to hear back from you.
Ate Jamie, thank you so much. Keep winning and happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. If you guys listen to this podcast later, before I plug it, I just want to let you know my birthday is actually on July 27. I'll be 41. 5 years in America, 4 years as a cancer survivor, and 41 years of existence. And I am so grateful to God. And this is such a great exchange of energy with me and Pia right now. One of the best gifts I've received. So I hope you receive our energy as well. Wherever you are, stay safe, keep that mask on, keep the distance, stay clean, be healthy, be grateful, and think happy thoughts, just so we can all win this pandemic together. Once again, this is Jamie Wins and Pia Wurchbach signing off. Let's keep winning.